Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. I am your host, Christopher. During our program, please join us in our chat rooms where you can comment, ask questions, or discuss our program. You will find that on blogtalkradio.com/hallelujah-pete. You may also email us your questions at hallelujahpete@gmail.com. You may also send a text message to us with your questions or comments to area code 567-259-6043. Also, like us on our Facebook page, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Brothers and sisters, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And I also say thank you, Jesus, for another lesson in Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, the Bible. And there are so many versions. As I welcome you all to this episode tonight, I am still excited about this study that we're having. It is from the book of Genesis. Study will provide, as before, a patriarchal look at the women and men involved in its telling of God's exploits from the beginning of religious time as we know it. Today, religion has identified at least three major periods of times, or eras, the patriarchal, the Mosaic, and the Christian eras. Now, I want to remind you that all of the lessons and instructions that we are studying are taken from the Old King James Version of the Bible. And I highly suggest, my precious brothers and sisters, so boredom doesn't come into play, meaning that you are not just listening and not taking notes, have your Bibles open and have your pens and pencils ready for taking notes, please. Now, another reminder, every 10 minutes or so, we will break for questions and answers. Now, before we get started, I again want to personally take this time to thank all of those who have taken time to give me feedback on the show. The comments and the advice that you are giving me, I am using. Okay. As our theme song for the show suggests, the question for this hour is again, are you standing on the promises of God or Jesus Christ? God said, if you humble yourself and pray and seek my face and turn from your wicked ways, I will heal you. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. Again, God said, through Solomon, in me with all your heart, and lean not to your own understanding. Acknowledge me in all your ways, and I will direct your steps. Proverbs 3, chapter 5 and 6. God again said, through David, if you set your love upon me, I will deliver you. With long life will I give you, and I will satisfy you with salvation. Psalms 91, verse 14 through 16. The question again to you is, are you standing on the promises of God? Now to the study. At the request of the host, I would like to take a quick review of instruction number 33 and instruction number 34 that we went through at our last city. The instruction of 33 says God's covenant with Isaac, and it was covered in the text, biblical text, Genesis chapter 26, verse 24, and its complement that compared and we agreed and looked at that comparison was John chapter 17, verse 2 and 3. Now, the covenant was an agreement that God gave Isaac, telling him that because of Abraham, his father, the promise that God gave him, that the lineage, the seed would flow through Isaac. And the complement in John chapter 17, verse 2 and 3 was the covenant with Jesus Christ, who God gave all power in heaven and in earth to give eternal life to as many as he will. And that was to know God as our only true God and to know Jesus Christ, his son, whom he has begotten. And the understanding that we get from that spiritually is that we have a covenant with God that if we follow his commandments, then we will receive salvation. The other instruction, number 34, the lesson was, or the instruction was the lesson in deception. And it was taken from Genesis chapter 27, verse 6 through 8, verse 19 and verse 24. And its complement, what we aligned it with, was Matthew chapter 26, verse 21 through 25. Now, the deception was when Rebekah told her son Jacob to go to his father when Isaac to show or to get the birthright that was going to be for Esau. And in Matthew, we see where Judas Iscariot, he did not confuse Jesus because Jesus knew he was going to betray him. But what he did do was he confused those apostles that were a part of the way that Jesus had established. So what this means to us spiritually is that we have to be very careful that we do not allow that deception of the knowledge of good and evil to overcome the knowledge of everlasting life. And we'll get to more of that detail in this lesson tonight. But those two reviews I wanted to do because the host recommended it. Now let's go to the next instruction, and we're going to be using the text Genesis chapter 28, verse 10 through 15. And the instruction is the first legacy given to Jacob. Now, the difference between a legacy and a covenant, which we just read, the covenant is like an agreement. The legacy is like an heritage. So this was the first that was given to Jacob. And it's taken from Genesis chapter 28, verse 10 through 15. And this is what the Bible says. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went from towards Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and laid down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder sat up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. That was the legacy, the first legacy that was given to Jacob. Verse 14 says, and thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again to this land. And I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee. So that is the legacy that God gave, the first legacy that God gave to Jacob. And the comparison is on is in our New Testament. We're going to go to Matthew, and we'll get back to that after the break.
What shall it profit a man, Jesus said, if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Suppose he had all the knowledge and all the wealth and all the power in the whole world today and lost your soul. You see, the whole country is on a quest for something. In drugs, in sex, in entertainment, we want something. We don't quite know what it is. And it's elusive. We don't find it. We go on in our pleasures, thinking they're going to last forever, but they don't. Solomon was the great king of Israel, the son of David. His income was staggering. Nobody that ever lived in history could compare with Solomon in financial worth. Anything he could dream of, he had it. You know how many wives he had? 700. But that didn't satisfy. He had 300 concubines. Every pleasure at his beck and call. He thought it would bring the peace that he longed for. And then he said, I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity. It was a bubble that burst. It didn't satisfy. Something beyond it satisfies. What is it? What is it? Deep in your heart, something is missing. You don't know what it is. The thing that's missing is that personal relationship with Christ. You see, sin is a disease. It's destructive. And we all have it. The Bible says all have sinned. What can we do about it? Come to the cross. Let Christ forgive your sin, change your life, turn you in a new direction, and give you a new mind. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the embodiment of all truth, and I can set you free. Free from your anxieties, free from your troubles and problems. We need to repent and turn by faith to Jesus Christ. What is repentance? It means that you change your way of thinking, you change your way of living. It means that you're willing to turn over your life to Christ, turn over your life to God, and say, oh God, I need you. I receive you. And then by faith you receive Christ. Christ. Have you received him? Do you know him? God is speaking to you. Come to Christ.
Now back to our program. Here's our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Let's now continue with the instruction, the first legacy given to Jacob. We just got from Genesis chapter 28, verse 10 through 15. And I'm hoping that you are opening your Bibles, reading along with me, and or writing this down. Now, we were told that God gave the land to Jacob. He told him that he was going to give him all the land. And this is what the complement says. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 through 20, and we're going to see the legacy that God gave to Jesus Christ for us. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 through 20, this is what it says. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore into all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the ends of the world. Amen. That is one of the legacies that God gave to Jesus Christ for us. Now, this is what the instruction means spiritually in our lives, that we are to come to Jesus Christ and to go out into all the sections of wherever it is and share the word of God, planting and laboring with love in his vineyard, being fishers of men and dressing his garden. Now, if you have some comments and questions, please, those in the chat room, get them to me or by email, however you would like to. But that is the meaning that I understand from this instruction, which is number 35. Now we're going to go to instruction number 36. And this is the text that we're going to draw from the comparison or the understanding of the instruction. It is Genesis chapter 29, and we're going to be reading verses 31 through 35, and then we're going to go to Genesis chapter 30, and we're going to read verse 1 through 25. Now, the reason this is so extensive is because this is significant, my brothers and sisters. This is the instruction. Listen to this. The stepbrothers, sons of Israel. Now, this is where the diversity comes in that's so significant in our world. This is what Genesis chapter 29, verse 31 through 35 says. And when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, that's the first wife of Jacob, he opened her womb. But Rachel, the second wife of Jacob, was barren. And Leah conceived and had bare a son, and she called his name Reuben, for she said, surely the Lord had looked upon my affliction. Now, therefore, my husband will love me. And she conceived again, Leah, and bare a second son, and said, because the Lord had heard that I was hated, he hath therefore given me this son also. And she called his name Simeon. And she conceived again, Leah, and bare a third son, and said, now this time will my husband be joined unto me, because I have borne him three sons. Therefore he was named Levi. And she conceived again, and bare a son. And she said, now I will praise the Lord. Therefore she called his name Judah, and left barren. Okay, now we understand that those were all from one wife. Now, this is significant. We're going to go to chapter 30, verse 1 through 25, and get the rest of the boys and the girl that was born to Jacob by different women. Verse 1 says, and when Rachel saw that she bare Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister and said unto Jacob, give me children or else I die. And Jacob's anger was kindled against Rachel, and he said, am I in God's stead, who hath withheld from thee the fruit of the womb? And she said, behold, my maid Bella, that's the third wife, go in unto her, and she shall bear upon my knees, that I may also have children by her. And she gave him Bella, her handmaid, to wife. That was his third wife. And Jacob went in unto her. And Bella conceived and bare Jacob a son. And Rachel said, God had judged me and hath also heard my voice and had given me a son. Therefore, she called his name Dan. And Bella, Rachel's maid, the third wife, conceived again and bare Jacob a second son. And Rachel said, with great wrestling have I wrestled with my sister, and I have prevailed. And she called his name Naphtali. When Leah, the first wife, saw that she had left bearing, she took Zilpah, her maid, another woman, and gave her to Jacob, to wife. That's his fourth wife. And Zilpah, Leah's maid, bare Jacob a son. And Leah said, a troop cometh, and she called his name Gad. And Zilpah, Leah's maid, bare Jacob a second son. And Leah said, happy am I, for the daughters will call me blessed. And she called his name Asher. And when Reuben went into the days of wheat harvest and found mandrakes in the field and brought them unto his mother Leah, Then Rachel said to Leah, "Give me, I pray thee, of thy son's mandrakes." And she said unto her, "It is a small matter that you have taken my husband, and would now you take my son's mandrakes also?" And Rachel said, "Therefore he shall lie with thee tonight for thy son's mandrake." And Jacob came out of the field in the evening, and Leah went out to meet him and said, "Thou must come in with me, for surely I have hired thee with my son's mandrake." And he laid with her. Now listen, my brothers and sisters, God hearkened unto Leah, and she conceived again and bare Jacob the fifth boy. And Leah called, and Leah said, "God hath given me my hire, because I have given my maiden to my husband." And she called his name Issachar. And Leah conceived again, bare Jacob the sixth son. And Leah said, "God has endued me with a good dowry. Now will my husband dwell with me, because I have borne him six sons." And she called his name Zebulun. And afterwards she bare a daughter and called her name Dinah. I'm wondering if the listeners out there realize that Jacob had a girl. And God remembered Rachel, and God hearkened to her and opened her womb also again. And she conceived and bare a son and said, "God had taken away my reproach." And she called his name Joseph and said, "The Lord shall add to me another son." And it came to pass, when Rachel had borne Joseph, that Jacob said unto Laban, "Send me away, that I may go into one place, my own place, and to my own country." Now we understand that still Benjamin has yet to be born. So that made up the 12. Okay, now this is the significance. We're reading about the stepbrothers. That's what you want to keep in mind. Now what we're going to do is go to Revelations. Revelations chapter 7. The complement is going to tell us again what we are going to understand from the instruction, the stepbrothers, sons of Israel. And I see that we are approaching a break for questions and answers. So what I'm going to do is wait until after the break, and then we will get into the dynamics of what the New Testament tells us about the stepbrothers, sons of Israel. Keep in mind before the break comes that we are looking at now the break.
I want you to know today that tremendous power is available to every single person. That power is prayer power. That power is the ability to move mountains out of the way. The many storms that come our way, but God has given us the ability to ward off every storm of life. And then when the church prays, something takes place. Too little is spent in prayer, and too much time is spent in talking about the problem. If people would just start to pray and stop talking about the problem, we would see phenomenal things take place. People need to worship more. You need to take more time not going to God in prayer. "Oh God, Lord, we've got this problem, that problem, this problem, that problem." Forget about your problems. Go to God and just begin to worship Him. Begin to exalt Him. Begin to extol Him. Begin to call Him by His names. Talk about His greatness. Talk about how awesome He is. Talk about how mighty He is. Don't talk about your problems. Talk about how big your God is. Talk about how awesome your God is. I want to challenge every single one of you to write down everything about how great God is. And when you go to Him in prayer, spend all of your time just exalting Him, just honoring Him, just lifting up His name. Spend very little time talking about the problem. Just go to the book of Hebrews and go read all of the people and just say, "You're the God of this one. You're the God of that one. You're the God that brought the three Hebrew children through the fire. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The God of Daniel. The God of David." The Bible says He will perfect that which concerns you. I've got news for you. God didn't bring you this far to leave you now. God didn't bring you out of all what He's brought you out for Him suddenly to let go of you. Don't listen to the lies of the devil. Don't listen to the lies of the enemy as he would try to whisper to you, God's not for you. God's against you. That's a lie from hell. I got news for you. God is for you. He's not against you. He loves you. He's on your side. God's grace comes to even those that have not been faithful. God's grace comes to even those that have really not walked the way that they should walk. And yet His grace and His mercy is extended to every single person that will believe Him, that will come, that will humble themselves under His mighty hand. So He's the God of a hundredfold blessing. He's a God that causes you increase in the time of famine, in the time of drought, in the time of storm. He's the God that makes a way where there is no way. He's your peace. He's your joy. He's your righteousness. He's your redeemer. He's your savior. He's your healer. He's your provider. He's your king. Somebody said, what God do you serve? That's the God that I serve. Worship Him. Open your mouth and give Him glory. Open your mouth and honor Him. Let your voice be heard. You know, if you just take a half an hour and begin to do that, instead of even bringing up what you even came for in prayer, you begin to worship God. What does the Bible say? Let God arise and His enemies be scattered. You begin to worship God, and then God begins to flood your life with His very presence. You better get ready, because God's about to do great things for you.
Welcome back to our program, BIBLE, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. Here is our host, Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Now let us continue. Remember, we're talking about the stepbrothers, but they're all sons of Israel. That's the key. They're multi, but they're all the same lineage. They're from Jacob's loins. Now let us look at the complement that'll give us a comparison of what we just got from Genesis chapter 29, verse 31 through 35, and Genesis chapter 30, verse 1 through 25. We're in Revelations. Open up your Bibles, please, and write this down. Revelation chapter 7. We're going to read verse 3 through 9, then 13 and 14. And I'm spending so much time on this because this is critical to the multiplicity of different ethnicities in the land today. This is where it stems from, or part of where it stems from, as far as the lineage of Judo-Christianity is concerned. This is what verse 3 through 9 says, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. And I heard the number of them which were sealed. And there were sealed 144,000 of the tribes of the children of Israel. Of the tribe of Judah were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Reuben were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Gad were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Asher were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Naphtali were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Manasseh were sealed 12,000. And let me quickly give you a tidbit that Manasseh was not the son of Jacob. He was Jacob's grandson. But when we get further on into Genesis, we'll get more of an understanding of why that occurred. Verse 7 says, of the tribe of Simeon were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Levi were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Issachar were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Zebulun were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Joseph were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Benjamin were sealed 12,000. Okay, so that tells us that all of the children of Israel that Jacob fathered, except we identified Manasseh and we took out Dan. And when we get to a further study, we'll explain that. Now let's look at what verse 13 and 14 says. It says in verse 13, "And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of the great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." So that tells us now, this is what the instruction means spiritually in our lives, that we are the adoption, even though the actual sons of Jacob were the makeup of God's people through adoption. And we know enough about the New Testament. And if we don't, stay here with me, and when we get into the Gospels, we'll explain more of it, more especially when we get to the epistles of Paul. He tells it specifically. But we are the adoption, and so we are part of this sealing, if you will, for salvation's sake. All right. If you got questions or comments, get them to me. I'm excited to find out what you think about this. Now we're going to go to instruction number 37. And this is the text we're going to be drawing from, back to Genesis chapter 31, and we're going to be reading verse 22 through 24. That's chapter 31, verse 22 through 24. And this is the instruction. God protects Jacob from Laban. All right? That is the key. When you read the entire chapter of Genesis 31, you'll get an understanding of what happened. But this is what the verses that I've chosen will explain. Verse 22 through 24, and it says, "And God remembered Rachel." No, chapter 31. I miscued. It is 22 verse 24, and it says, "And it was told Laban on the third day that Jacob was fled. And he told his brethren, and he took his brethren with him and pursued him 7 days' journey. And they overtook him in Mount Gilead. And God came to Laban the Syrian in a dream by night and said unto him, Take heed that thou speak not to Jacob either good or bad." So again, Laban was Jacob's uncle, because his daughter was, Leah and Rachel were his daughters. Anyway, that is what God said to Laban to protect him to protect Jacob from him. Now let's go to the compliment. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 2, and we're going to read verse 13 through 23. Matthew chapter 2, verse 13 through 23, and we're going to see what the New Testament complement adds to this by comparison. Matthew chapter 2, verse 13 through 23, and this is what it says. And what I'm thinking is we'll run out of time, and I'm going to wait until after the break. I still have a minute. "And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph." Now I see that I don't have a minute. So what we're going to do is we're going to wait until after the break to go through more details on this protection, and then we're going to see what the instruction means to us spiritually in our lives about being protected as children of God. Okay? So in 1 second or 5 seconds, we're going to hear the music, and we'll be going into the break.
Before I created the heavens and the earth, I was. When the earth and everything in it passes away, I will be. I hold the universe together from the smallest atom to the greatest galaxy. It all is in my hands. The sun is hidden in my shadow. I have set the earth on its foundations, and I rest my feet upon it. I stir the waters of the oceans with my fingers and shake the mountains with my breath. I am entirely holy and completely other. There are none before me and none like me who can question what I have done or what I will do. My kingdom is eternal and shall exist forevermore. I am the ruler over the kings of the earth. I am the Prince of Peace. I am the King of Kings, the Righteous King, the King of the Jews, the King of Glory, the King of the Ages, the King of Heaven, and I am the Lord of Lords. I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I am Jehovah Jireh, I will provide. I am Jehovah Rapha, I will heal. I am Jehovah Mekadesh, I will sanctify. I am Jehovah Rohi, I am your shepherd. I am the Most High God, your deliverer, your redeemer, and savior. I am your shield and your strength and your defender, the eternal and everlasting God. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. Beside me there is no God. Angels and heavenly beings worship me upon my throne, and I will not give my glory unto another. I will not share my creation. I am a jealous God and a consuming fire. I am the commander of the heaven's armies, and before me kingdoms crumble and rulers kneel. I am your harbor in the tempest. I am safety for the tempted and tried. I have come to set the captives free, to strengthen the weak, to heal the lame, to cause the blind to see. I have come to give you life and breath to breathe. I have come that you might know me. I have come that you might know my limitless love and endless goodness, my measureless mercy and never-ending grace. My forgiveness knows no boundaries, and my acceptance sees no imperfections, nor color, nor race, nor wealth, nor poverty. In me you are made clean, and through me you are sanctified. I am indescribable, incomprehensible, irresistible, and invincible. The heavens cannot contain my glory. Death cannot consume me. Life cannot outlast me. All knees will bow before me, and at my name every tongue will confess. Every tongue will confess that I am the great I am. Every tongue will confess that I am the God of gods.
Back to our program. Here's our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, let us continue. We're talking about the instruction, God protects Jacob from Laban. So we understand that God did that. Now we're going to go to the compliment and see how God protected Jesus Christ from Herod. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 2, verse 13 through 23, and this is what it says. It says, "And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night, and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of by the Lord by the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt have I called my son. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceedingly wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem, and in all of the coasts thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, In Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping, and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted, because they were not. But Herod, was dead. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, arise and take the young child and her mother and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. And he arose and took the young child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither. Notwithstanding, being warned of God in a dream, he turned aside into the parts of Galilee. So we can see how God again protected Jesus Christ from Herod. Now, what this instruction means spiritually in our lives, that if we are Christian, if we are Christian and born again, if we are Christian and born again and have the indwelling, God will protect us from the hell fire of death that is going to overtake our flesh. It will not overtake our spirit. We will be spiritually saved. Now, that is the meaning that we get from these two texts. Okay, let's go now into the next instruction. It is instruction number 38, and we're going to be reading from the text, Genesis chapter 32, and we're going to read verses 24 through 32. Genesis chapter 32, verse 24 through 32. And this is the instruction that we want to concentrate on as we read the text. The second legacy and sign given to Jacob. So this is the second heritage. See, Jacob had more than one. So this is the second legacy that God gave Jacob. And it's identified in Genesis chapter 32, verse 24 through 32. So this is what it reads. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled with a man until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against the man, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh went out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And Jacob said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And he said unto Jacob, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince, thou hast power with God and with men, and have prevailed. So what Jacob did, or what Israel actually means, literally, is struggling or contending with God. So that's what the name Israel stands for, just as his father Abraham's name stands for Father of Nations. Verse 29 says, and Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. And as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. Therefore the children of Israel eat not of the sinew which shank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh in the sinew that shank. All right, now we're going to see what the compliment has to say about this second legacy and sign. We're going to go to the book of Acts, and we're going to go to chapter 9.
Hey, Pete, there is a question. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but there was a question. It says, Isaac had the same famine experience as his father Abraham did. How was his experience with it different than his father's?
Would you repeat that question again, please, Chris?
The question is, Isaac had the same famine experience that his father Abraham did. How was his experience with it different than his father's?
From reading the text, you can see that the famine, you said, that Abraham experienced was different from the famine that Isaac experienced, because God provided different accommodations for Isaac that he didn't apply or give to Abraham? That's the best answer I can give. The Bible tells you exactly what Abraham experienced. And what Isaac experienced was a little different. And that's what the Word of God says. So hopefully I gave you what you needed to hear. But if not, give me a feedback and let me know what you think so I can learn from that. Okay, are there any other, Chris?
Nope,
that
was the only one so far.
We will go to the book of Acts, chapter 9, and we're going to be reading verse 3 through 18. And this is identifying or complementing the second legacy, even though it's not to Jacob per se, but it is going to be for us. This is what it says with Paul included. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus. And suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And Jesus said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And the interpretation of pricks means it's hard to kick against the truth. And verse 6 says, And he trembling and astonished said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand, and brought him into Damascus. And he was there 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hands on him that he might receive his sight. I'm going to let you read the rest of this, but the point is that the second legacy and the sign given is just similar. And this was Paul given a sign that he would do what God wanted him to do. And again, Jacob, his sign was not blindness, it was haltness. So that is the connection there. Now, what does this instruction mean spiritually in our lives? It means that we should receive the word of God and believe it, and then we should apply it. That is what's critical in this instance. We must have faith, and we will continue after the break.
Understand how much it costs you to survive bad times. What they don't understand is that even when you are expecting something good to happen, it costs you something. That hope costs you something. That expectation costs you something. It takes something for you to stand in a position of readiness, expecting good things to happen that don't. The Bible said that hope deferred maketh the heart sick. And I thought that by now I would have been married. I had planned a wedding for my 20s, and now I'm 42. The numbers have reversed, and I'm still by myself. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. I thought I would have my degree, but every time I get ready to go back after my degree, something sets me back. And when you keep wanting something that keeps evading you, if you're not careful, it will wear you down. To wait for something, anticipating it, and it doesn't happen, costs you more than somebody who wants nothing. That's why we have so many people who fall into the abyss of wanting absolutely nothing, because sometimes it is easier not to want anything than it is to want it and not get it. I want you to understand then that while they were waiting on the bridegroom to come, they were burning oil. While nothing was happening. They were burning oil. You have to burn some oil to be able to wait. The Bible says they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. You have to be tough to wait. You have to be tough to work all day and go to school at night. You have to be tough to take two part-time jobs and put them together and try to make it do. You have to be tough. It may not happen, but I want it. I may not be there, but I want to. It may not be in my hand, but I'm snatching after it. I may not have apprehended, but I'm in the press. I may not climb the mountain, but I'll die with dirt in between my fingernail, because I will never lay there and accept where I came from to be where I'm going. My history is not my destiny. That's why I don't care when you say you knew me when. I don't care how many people knew me when. Until you know me now, you don't know anything at all. My history is not my destiny. You said it's late, but I'm still waiting. I'm older, but I'm still waiting. I've had setbacks, but alas, alas, still waiting.
Welcome back to our program. Here's our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, let us continue. Now, what this instruction means spiritually in our lives, meaning that the second legacy and sign given to Jacob, this is what we are told. Our legacy is the blood of Jesus Christ in baptism. And the sign that we receive from that are the gifts and fruits of the Holy Ghost. Now, that is a little more explicit or expansive than what I mentioned just before the break, but that's the intent. So that's the meaning that we should carry or understand from this instruction. Now let's go to the next instruction. We're going to go to instruction number 39, and we're going to look at text Genesis chapter 32, verse 3-7. Genesis chapter 32, verse 3-7. 32 and 33 will be next. 32 verses 3-7. And this is what it says. It says, "And Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau his brother unto the land of Seir, the country of Eden. And he commanded them, saying, Thou shalt speak, Thus shall ye speak unto my lord Esau. The servant Jacob saith, I have sojourned with Laban and stayed until now, and I have oxen and the like. And he sent his messengers out." I'll let you continue to read the other, but we're going to go to verse 7, where it says, "Then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed, and he divided the people that were with him, and the flocks and herds and the camels, into two bands." So Jacob feared his brother because he had stolen his birthright. And so now we're going to go to chapter 33, verse 1-4, and get more information in that instance. It says, "And Jacob lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, Esau came, and with him 400 men. And he divided the children unto Leah and unto Rachel, and unto the two handmaids. And he put the handmaids and their children furthermost, and Leah and her children after, and Rachel and Joseph hence most. And he passed over before them and bowed himself to the ground seven times until he came near to his brother. And Esau ran to meet his brother and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him and wept." Now, this is telling you that even though Jacob feared Esau, God had already put, you know, mercy into Esau's heart. And Esau did not hate Jacob for stealing his birthright. Now, what we're going to do is see how the New Testament complements this by going to Luke chapter 12, and we're going to be reading verse 4 and 5 in Luke chapter 12. And this is what the New Testament says about the same. Not Jacob, but comparatively speaking. "And I saw, and I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom you shall fear. Fear him which after he had killed his hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. That is the complement to the fear. If you're going to fear anyone this side of eternity, you fear God. That's the instruction that we glean from this spiritually, that Jesus told us that you don't fear he who kills the body and cannot kill body and soul. So that is the meaning of this instruction, that we should keep our faith in God and we should fear no man. Okay. Now, what I'm going to do from time to time, in accordance with the scheduling, I have in our programming schedule drills and exercises that I'll introduce to our listeners. And this is one of those times, and this is the drill that I would like to introduce to you tonight. What we are going to look at is mind reset. That is what we're going to look at, mind reset. And the significance of this drill, which we should practice, is that we have the knowledge of good and evil as a heritage from Adam. You can't shake it. Jesus brought us the knowledge of everlasting life. Now, remember in the garden where God kicked out man so he wouldn't get to the tree of everlasting life? That is Jesus bringing this knowledge to us. So we have to practice this, because when we wake up in the morning, it's just like a computer. A computer will have the original program, and if you don't upgrade it to the next program, it will default back to the original program. So that's what happens to us. So this is something that I think that we should rehearse on a regular basis, to reset our mind to the knowledge of everlasting life. And the scriptures that I will give you that substantiates this, it's going to be, and please write this down, we're going to be going to Genesis chapter 3, verse 22 through 24. We're going to go to Isaiah chapter 5 through 13. We're going to go to Hoshea or Hosea, depending on how you would like to pronounce it, chapter 4, verse 6. And we're going to go to John, the book of John, the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 26, chapter 15, verse 26, chapter 16, verse 13, and then we will conclude with 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16. All of these scriptures, my precious brothers and sisters, substantiate the need to reset our mind. Now, this is what Genesis chapter 3, verse 22 through 24 says. And the Lord God said, behold, the man has become like one of us, to know good and evil. So good and evil, that knowledge is a part of godliness. And now the scripture says, lest he put his hand forth and take also of the knowledge of the tree of life and eat and live forever. And we know that that is happened in the garden. God prevented us from doing that. And then the Isaiah chapter 5, verse 16 says, therefore, my people have gone into captivity for lack of this knowledge. And Hoshea chapter 4, verse 6 says, my people are destroyed for lack of this knowledge. What we're talking about, my brothers and sisters, is the knowledge of everlasting life. That's what we lack. And we can see through Isaiah and through Hoshea, it says that we are lacking because of it, and we are held in captivity because of it, and we are actually destroyed because of it. And then if you go to the Gospel of John, it tells us what this knowledge gives us. Jesus says he would not leave us comfortless. So that meant that we will receive the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost will guide us in all truth, teach us all things of God. And that is the drill. And now we have the final break.
Thank you for joining us for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, BIBLE, Blog Talk Radio Talk Show Program. Hope you were blessed by our program. Please join us every Wednesday at 7 p.m. for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. BIBLE.
Don't forget to exercise mind reset